This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, everyone. Why don't you come see us live in Philadelphia this weekend? Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, we're at the Punchline in Philly. Then on Sunday night, we go to the beautiful Improv in Washington, D.C. Back here in the L.A. area on March 7th, Thursday night, I believe it is, at Levity Live in Oxnard, California.
The 805.
Coming to that. Is it the 805?
That is.
All right. And then Stamford, Connecticut. New York Comedy Club, Stamford, Connecticut. March 22nd, Friday night. One show only. And then on to the Auburn Theater in Auburn, New York. Can't wait. Tickets are $14.99.
Ooh.
So and their web's already almost sold out.
The
you better get them to
in
that.
Auburn.
And then, of course, Kansas City. Haven't been there in years and years and years. The Comedy Club in Kansas City, one night only, March 27th. And then on to one of our favorites, if not our favorite of all time, Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida, Saturday night, 6 p.m., April 6th. And then Dania Beach, Sunday night, April 7th, the Improv down there in Dania. I'm going to get it right one of these days, but you get the idea. Sunnyvale, how do you like that? Rooster Tea Feathers up there in Sunnyvale, California. Another place I haven't been doing forever. Love this club. Dallas Hyenas. Off Cabot Comedy Club in Beverly, Massachusetts, May 3rd and 4th. House of Comedy in Detroit, May 10th and 11th. Detroit House of Comedy. And then Atlanta Punchline, May... Whatever, I can't read. It's my wife wrote these, and she writes numbers like a child. All right, everybody. New episode coming up, cover to cover. Yes. Tuesday. Love a Tuesday episode. Love it. Love doing all the episodes, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Tuesday. Little Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Kicking things off. Big old jet airliner. I mean, Steve Miller's fine enough, I guess. You know, I don't know if anybody's been around, got a lot of hits. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think. He's one of those guys who just didn't show up, you know. I don't care about that, but he's in.
Yeah.
Still out there. Had a big tour this year with a bunch of bands. I think it's Def Leppard, Steve Miller, Journey, Cheap Trick, Heart. I think they're all touring together.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a good time.
Get the hits and get
on.
There
you go. Yeah. Exactly. Good song. This one really takes me back to my Long Island, you know. You forget, you know, I mean, I guess when you're growing up, you don't think the people that you're growing up with and around are kind of trashy. But then as you get older, you look back on memories you have and you're like, oh, those people were, I guess, trash. But you don't, when you're 10, you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? remember like hearing this song in like a bar. Went to like some barbecue at some bar somewhere, like an afternoon barbecue. Like some of the neighbors took us, me and my brothers, and we went to like a bar in the afternoon, but it was a barbecue. It was like, it was for the kids. Everybody was invited to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Family friendly.
Yeah.
And that song played on the jukebox. I remember being fascinated. Even I must have been 9 or 10. I was fascinated by the jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was like bikers and shit like that. I mean, as much as I love Long Island and the people, as you guys, you know, nothing against the good people of Long Island, but there could be some trash on Long Island.
Yeah.
And certainly they were at this barbecue. I think it was run by, for whatever reason, there was some sort of correlation between this barbecue and where I used, my mom every now and again would take me to get my hair cut with her. Mm-hmm. She was going to get her hair cut. I think she was getting a shag at the time, Alex.
Ooh.
She was getting a shag cut. That was a popular cut at the time. My mother was upset that people would tell her she looked like Anne Murray. Because she had a haircut that was short like Anne Murray. People were like, oh, you look like Anne Murray. I don't look like Anne Murray. I look like Anne Murray. I'm not Anne Murray.
Yeah.
So then she went, she wanted something a little more edgy. And she went and got a shag from the Shear Shack.
Okay.
In like Farmingville. This was long gone, I'm sure. But a couple times I went with her to the Shear Shack. And they cut my hair too. And this guy was like, I mean, he was like right out of, I remember the guy vividly. I think probably it had such an impact on me as a child that I later on, the aging rocker look that I do now, I think was based on this guy who cut my hair probably 3 times when I was a child.
Okay.
And he was very much like a Warren Beatty in Shampoo, if you remember that. I mean, at least I thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I'm 6 or whatever I was, 8, this seemed like, oh my God, this guy, you know, but now he was a hairstylist in Bayshore at the Shear Shack, which was probably next to a King Colin in the same shopping center. I mean, you know, but I thought this guy was Warren Beatty in Shampoo.
Yeah.
A big difference. But anyway, he asked me how I wanted my hair cut. My mom wanted the shag cut. If you guys remember the look, I don't remember, you know, it was a big cut in the 70s. And I told him I wanted to look like Robert Redford. And I was like 7, but I knew, I said, I want to look like Robert Redford. And the guy's like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, first of all, you're not that good looking. You're not even that good looking for 7, like a weird looking 7-year-old. Your hair's gigantic. You know, a lot of wing flipping out, you know, like a lot of waves and not curly, but wavy.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't have the same hair as Redford. So he wasn't able, but he did the best he could. Anyway, there you go. That's my story. I didn't even know that, why I'd even told that story. Shear Shack. Oh, Steve Miliband.
Steve
that's
Miliband.
What put me in the in that big old jet airliner. I got to guess that's got to be 70, early 70s. I'm going to guess that's 77, 76. Might even be earlier than that. Anyway, Alex will come up with the answer to that as he often does.
Yeah.
A lot.
77.
77. Yeah, that's what I figured. 77 was like, I don't know, you know, if I, when all said and done, I think 77 might be my favorite year at this point. I don't know why. Let's see, I was probably 11 years old in 77. And 77 in New York, at least, was just, if I'm not mistaken, Yankees win the World Series. There's a blackout. The Yankees were like fighting. It was like Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson were like punching each other in the face in the dugout. This could be 78, this could be 76, but I think Star Wars. I mean, just a wild year. A blackout in New York, Son of Sam, all this stuff was going on in New York around that. I could be wrong on the years, but it's pretty close. So just like a wild time. I believe Elvis died in 77, if I'm not mistaken. Just craziness. And the music was great. And the movies were great.
You're right. August 16th, 77.
Yeah, I see. I do. I mean, I have a very vivid memories of 77 for whatever reason. Give me the best picture nominees in 77. Give me the best picture nominees. I'm going to say the winner of best picture 1977 was, I want to say it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
That could be, all right. I'm going to say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but I could be wrong on the year on that one. That could be 78.
All righty.
Anyway, get me the 5 best picture nominees in 77. It's got to be. Everyone's amazing. I could assure you everyone's amazing. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm completely wrong. And
I believe the nominees are Taxi Driver.
Oof. I mean, an amazing Robert De Niro, Jodie Foster, Harvey Keitel, Scorsese at his best. You talking to me? That's that movie, okay. Mm-hmm.
Network.
Oh, Peter Finch, Walter Pigeon, I believe, Faye Dunaway.
Okay.
And William Holden. Oh my God, still holds up. Want to hear the classic line from that?
Yeah.
I've had all I can take, and I can't stand and take anymore, or something like that. I'm fucking it up, but anyway, that was a very famous line from that movie.
Mm-hmm. Rocky.
Ooh, that won Best Picture, 77. Yeah, of course. Yeah. How did I not know that? My favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Bound for Glory.
Another classic.
And All the President's Men.
Oh. Oh, Robert Redford. There you go. Yeah. Redford. That's the haircut I want. Redford and Hoffman about the Watergate scandal. Mm. Man, every one of those movies is amazing. I mean, as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's exciting. Okay. And Rocky wins Best Picture that year.
Yep.
And I don't know who won Best Actor, but Stallone did win. Oh, you know who won Best? I think it was probably somebody from Network. I think it was
Peter Finch.
Peter Finch from Network. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Yes, thank you very much. I think he died. I think he was dead. I think it was a posthumous Oscar.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Network's Faye Dunaway, actress.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Yeah, mm-hmm. Faye Dunaway. Good looking lady back then. You know, for 77. Mm-hmm. She was like, you know, by today's standards, you look at Faye Dunaway like, oh, she got like rotten teeth and stuff. But that's back, you know, like I was saying about the We Are the World documentary. You just didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you looked like you looked, you know. You looked like you couldn't fuck with it.
Yeah.
Like you can today. So you had to be, Faye Dunaway was doing the best she could with what she had. All right, everybody. I don't know what I've done or how or why or that I get alerts on my phone as to the comings and goings. I guess it's just like the New York Post is like their headlines pop up on my phone or one of the papers, mm-hmm. you know, that I follow. And I get alerts on the comings and goings of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I know where they're going. I know she's in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They told me on my phone, alert, she's flying to Australia now. She's on a plane.
Yeah.
Okay. Now she did her concert. Another alert, Travis Kelce on his way to Australia. Taylor Swift's at the zoo. In Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce has arrived in Australia.
Yeah.
He's at the zoo with her.
Okay.
I think they went to the zoo two separate days.
Okay.
And then, of course, they get in trouble. PETA, if you're that big, you know, of stars like they are, like, you can't do anything because they'll take a picture of you at the zoo. Like, you're just killing time before you're big. She's got a giant concert that night. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Go to the zoo. Sydney Zoo. I think it's a famous zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the... And of course, PETA, whoever, they're at the zoo. That's disgusting. Animals are in cages. I whatever. You know, I got to go to the zoo sometimes with my daughter, but nobody takes pictures of me, so nobody gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you should see the LA zoo. It's not, you know, they're barely holding it's on.
Prison yard, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but then Travis Kelce is back. Now he's in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've flown several times to Australia. It'll fuck you up because you go like back in time because it's around the world and you and like I don't normally believe in what do they call it? Jet lag. Mm-hmm. Like I don't really get it by traveling, you know, in America.
Yeah.
But man, I remember coming back both times from Australia and just being like, I don't know what day this is. Like, I don't know what time. I don't know where we are. So it'll fuck you up. Mm-hmm. But this Travis Kelce lands from Australia and is like partying in Vegas. See a picture of him partying with Patrick Mahomes, some championship party or something for the, you know, for the Chiefs at some club. I mean, but I guess, you know, the guy's, what is he, 31?
Yeah.
33 or something? And he just won the Super Bowl for the third time. He's having sex with Taylor Swift. I mean, why? Who wouldn't party under such circumstances?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let the guy have some fun.
Is it pretty common for football teams to celebrate this long? I don't...
I mean, I think
it feels like they're going a little long.
I think it was probably like something where it was bought at, you know, they,
yeah,
somebody sponsored it or something. Cause I feel like all the Chiefs were there. So,
yeah.
I mean, who knows? Hey, listen,
some corporate
event. You've won three Super Bowls. You're only, I mean, they're still young. I mean, go ahead, enjoy your life. I mean, that's some crazy. Patrick Mahomes only been playing 6 years. He won the Super Bowl in three. I mean, it's why. I think he's been in the playoffs every one of those 6 years. So, I mean, the guy's put on to, he's every right to go out and party, enjoy his life. But anyway, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, I guess still going strong. I had read they have a $25,000 hotel room in Australia.
Okay.
25 grand a night, the hotel room was. And I guess they had some pictures from the inside of it in one of the papers I was looking at, or magazines or whatever the fuck. And I just don't know, like, I guess as being Taylor Swift, you kind of have to get the $25,000 a night room, but I don't know. I would feel like I really got to do some shit in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she's probably, I mean, how long are you in the room?
Yeah.
I think she did two shows in Sydney. So let's say she's there three nights, $25,000 a night,
mm-hmm,
hotel room. And then you're probably rehearsing, got to go sound check, got to go have the zoo twice, yeah,
mm-hmm,
you know? So I don't know how much time is actually spent in the room at 25 grand. I would have been like, shit, we got to do, I feel like we got to watch a movie or something in here, or mm-hmm, take some can of Pringles from the, you know,
yeah,
from the, what are they called?
Mini bar.
Yeah. Like I have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're spending 25 grand a night on a hotel room, do you still have to spend $7 on the Pringles or is that
I guarantee
part of it? I wonder if it was the same hotel, and I'm not being funny when I say this. We stayed, and when we were in Sydney shooting Chelsea Lately, we stayed in a very fancy hotel. At least we thought it was, because the reason why we thought it was is because it's the hotel, and Chelsea stayed in the room. You know, she had the big room.
Yeah.
And we all had good rooms, but Chelsea had the big room, and we were there for like a week or maybe more, 10 days. So we hung out in Chelsea's room a lot, and it was the room that Michael Jackson got married in, where he married Debbie Rowe or something. She was married in that hotel. Michael Jackson was married in that hotel in that room. So I'm figuring, wait a minute, if Michael Jackson got married in that room, this might be the 25 grand a night room, uh-huh, right?
Yep.
I don't know if E was putting up 25 grand for Chelsea to stay there, but they might, back then it might not have been 25 grand, but mm-hmm, it was nice. I don't know if it was 25 grand nice, but I mean, 25 grand, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I like a Hilton Garden Inn, Alex. I'm fine with that. You know, even if I'm Taylor Swift, I'm like, I don't know, is it clean?
Mm-hmm.
You got the, I wonder if they have a free breakfast at the 25 grand a night hotel room. If they have the, you know, the waffle maker, where you just pour the batter in, flip it over. Do you do the waffle, Alex?
I
think you told me you did.
Yeah. You know, if they have a good batter going, I will. Some places have good batters. You know, they go, this is the classic batter. We got a cinnamon batter.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What kind of hotel? Are you Taylor Swift?
Radisson's.
Cinnamon batter? I never heard of such a thing. Sarah Colonna has the greatest story about the batter.
Uh-huh.
One time, she took it up to the room thinking it was yogurt. She took the batter up to the, like, you know, and the breakfast buffet was about to close.
Mm-hmm.
And Colonna, like, grabbed it and thought it was yogurt and took the waffle batter up to the room thinking it was some sort of yogurt, mm-hmm, and it was waffle batter.
That sounds...
Yeah. Anyway, that's a Sarah Colonna classic road story from Colonna. Anyway, there they are, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them, right? I mean, let's keep it up. We're all fascinated by it, if not completely bored by the whole thing. You know, I mean, who knows? Who cares? Are you familiar with the CEO of Kellogg's?
I am.
Kellogg Cereals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what his name is?
I don't, but I'm familiar with him.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with his work.
His name's Gary Pilnick.
Mm-hmm.
Kellogg's. Kellogg's, I'm going to say Kellogg's used to be Frosted Flakes. Is it still Frosted Flakes? Is that Kellogg's? Here we go. You want to hear what Kellogg's does?
Mm-hmm.
Corn Flakes, Fruit Loops, Mini Wheats, Raisin Bran. Those are some of their heavy hitters.
Yeah.
So maybe the not Frosted Flakes.
Apple Jacks, Rice Krispies.
They don't even mention those guys in here. Ooh. Anyway, he said in an interview, he was doing an interview with MSNBC or somebody, and he said, Gary Pilnick said, hey, if people are strapped for cash, groceries are expensive. Eat cereal for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's getting a lot of backlash, according to, you know, you can't, CEO faces backlash suggesting people should eat cereal for dinner to save money. What the hell's wrong with that?
Sounds like a good plan.
First of all, cereal's getting taken a beating right now. Nobody's eating cereal anymore. We've talked about it on this podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
It's going through some tough times. I don't really know why, because I think for the most part, many people, I don't know how we didn't realize it back then, but many people are realizing it's just a sugary mess.
Yep.
Might as well just eat a Snickers for breakfast, for, you know, with most type of cereals. But he's trying to get some, you know, he's trying to get some people back to cereal, and he's saying just eat it for dinner.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I have, and I love it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would do it more often,
but I'm partially to blame because I don't eat cereal anymore at all either. I think partially because, you know, we're not allowed the good ones. The ones I just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Kellogg's, we get something, you know, who is it? Who's the people I don't like?
You know, Annie's?
Yeah. And we get Choco Chimps,
uh-huh.
which are some healthy Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
We get a Rhino Rolls, which Ooh. Are basically Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but not as good.
Mm-hmm.
And so none of it is as good as I believe it once was.
Yeah.
So I don't really eat cereal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe I'll start eating it for dinner, but people are upset at this guy. You know, they're not happy about it. And then of course, you read 80% of Americans test positive for a chemical found in Cheerios and Quaker Oats that may cause infertility and delayed puberty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in, and there's another reason why you shouldn't eat cereal.
Give your kids cereal. Yeah,
I mean,
who needs puberty?
Who's delayed puberty? Who's getting delayed puberty? I mean, I feel like every kid is getting advanced puberty. I don't know.
What the hell
do I know about any of it? Anyway, speaking back to Taylor Swift, the father is in some hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift's dad, I guess, punched out a paparazzi or something.
Allegedly.
Taylor Swift's dad, Scott, accused of assaulting a photographer after singer wrapped her ears to a concert in Sydney. Taylor Swift's dad, Scott, is being accused of assaulting an Australian photographer while celebrating the end of his daughter's tour down under. I mean, that's, yeah, you know, he just looks like everybody's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Swift looks like everyone's just, if you told me that's Taylor Swift's dad, I'd be like, no, he's got to be some hip, cool guy, right?
Nope.
He looks like every dad. And they have it. Taylor Swift, everybody. I mean, how much more can we possibly talk about Taylor Swift? What about Wendy's, Alex? You know we love Wendy's Ooh, over here. Yeah. You like Wendy's.
I'm a Wendy's guy.
And we do all of our countdowns.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who does our countdowns.
Christina Vani?
Yeah, Christina Vani. Thank you, Alex. She always loves a Wendy's. She'll mm-hmm. give you, their fries are the best. Their flurry, whatever it is.
The Frosty?
Frosty, thank you. That's the best. Anyway, they're doing a thing they just announced. Mm-hmm. Wendy's is planning Uber-style surge pricing.
Yeah.
Where the burger prices are going to fluctuate based upon demand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, I guess it's not the worst idea in the world. So during lunch, I don't know what a Wendy's burger would go for. I don't know. Let's say $6.
Okay.
Am I way under? Is it $8?
You're probably close.
Okay.
Single.
So during
no bacon, six.
During lunch, it's going to be $8.
Mm-hmm.
But at 3:00 in the afternoon, it's going to be $4.
Ooh.
I hope. I don't know. Are they going to? So during the slow times, because Starbucks kind of does that, you know, they give you during at like 3:00 in the afternoon, they'll send you a little,
send you
if
alert.
You have their app, you know, yeah. Come on over and get anything. We'll fucking give it to you. We got a ton of shit over here and it's not moving. Come over here and get a Frappuccino or whatever.
You're right. It's just a.
Yeah. So I mean, same. I know. So I think I don't think it's the worst idea in the world.
Mm-mm.
This is an interesting story that I don't really understand. And according to the New York Post, I run over to the New York Post when I see they have a little banner that goes across their pictures. If you follow them on Instagram, it's a little red banner and it says breaking.
Mm-hmm.
That'll mean that, you know what that means, Alex? Breaking news.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hot off the press.
Yeah. And it's always usually, whoa, who died? Something's up when you see breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually run over to breaking news, and they do another one that's a little red banner, and it says exclusive.
Yeah.
Which means exclusive to the Post, but it's also usually a pretty good story, usually. This is exclusive, came out today. Women are loving men who embrace, are you ready for this, Alex?
Yes.
A baby girl vibe and ditch toxic masculinity.
Okay.
I got to tell you people now, enough is enough of things that I have started years ago. I ditched toxic masculinity as a long time ago to my career near, you know, being where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Had I been toxically manly or masculine, I would be hosting Saturday Night Live last Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not. And I always have embraced the baby girl vibe, which I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm about to find out. Being so baby girl is the hottest compliment for men. Did you know that? I've never even heard this term.
I didn't either, but...
Okay, a 26-year-old, 6'5" man isn't what comes to mind for most Americans when they think of a baby girl, but it is for Gen Z. Jacob Elordi, is that how you pronounce his name?
Okay.
He's this handsome guy. He hosted Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago. What is he on? Why do I know him? He is a good-looking guy. I get the look. He's just a big doofus, you know, and people like a big doofus.
Mm-hmm. He's baby girl.
He's got long, you know, just long, gangly, and, you know, like a look about him. Kind of that handsome look that the clothes just, they drape nicely on you.
He was in Saltburn.
Oh, he was? One,
and he was in Euphoria.
He's
so baby girl
He was deemed so baby girl during his promotion as a host of Saturday Night Live. In January, musical guests Renee Rapp and Kesmo Boeing Yang made the decree. An Australian actor has joined the ranks of the other heartthrobs, including, these are some of the people who are so baby girl.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal, everybody, but he's an older guy, kind of, I guess. And Timothée Chalamet, I mean, two different types, both so baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You staying with me?
Yeah.
And Jacob Elordi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And White Lotus actor Leo Woodall is also so baby girl.
Yeah.
Being associated with the moniker leading to confusion for some and crushes for others. The new definition of the term baby girl has recently been adopted, remaining as a term of endearment by expanding to include a specific type of swoon-worthy man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I think that's... Okay, there's more. A man whose baby girl comes across as sweet, charming, a bit bashful, and seemingly in touch with their feminine side, ready to talk about their feelings or carry a purse to brunch at any point. You still with me, Alex?
I'm with you.
Okay. You know, Alex, would you consider yourself so baby girl?
I'm getting there.
You are? You
think I think life, you know.
You're baby girl-ish.
Life's thrown some curves at me, and I've come out the other end a little more baby girl, you know?
Good for you.
I'm trying to be less toxic.
It's exactly what women want men to become, the antithesis of toxic macho masculinity. I mean, is it finally going away? Because it's not in the... in like the comedies, the New York comedy scene, or what, any comedy scene, LA, all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the bro, I mean, you're fucking killing it.
Yeah.
If I'm carrying a purse to brunch, nobody's coming to my shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been so baby girl for a long time.
Yeah.
As you can tell by my audience, most of my listeners are 65-year-old women. That there's nothing more baby girl than that.
Yeah.
You don't think these old bitches don't think I'm so baby girl?
I think
they do. Tell their friends.
Yeah.
We're going to see Chris Rangiola over at the New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who's he? You don't know Chris Rangiola? Oh, snap. He's so baby girl.
Yeah.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a baby girl? Well, that too. Mm-hmm. But he's also is baby girl.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's something to embrace.
Yeah. You want to hear a little bit more about her?
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, highlighting feminine qualities in men has been a put-down. But this doesn't seem to be the case with baby girl, which almost has a celebratory quality. A Columbia University educated sexuality expert. Oh boy.
Kamna Bajwani.
Yeah. Kamna Bajwani. Thank you, Alex, for keeping up.
Just figured I'd help
you there. Gen Z is much more fluid when it comes to gender and sexuality than older generations, encouraging rather condemning, blurring the lines around the previously restrictive boxes separating masculine and feminine.
Okay.
Okay. I'm looking at Pedro Pascal going into the Met Ball, and he's wearing like, you know, an outfit that could go either way. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm sure someone told Pedro Pascal to wear that.
Yeah, but it's also the Met. It's not like...
I know. So, yeah, he's not going into Applebee's.
No.
According to Vogue's...
He doesn't wear a blouse anywhere.
According to Vogue's runway year-end poll, gender-bending menswear was dubbed the industry favorite for 2023's trends.
Okay.
I got to tell you, there's lately my 4.5-year-old daughter, almost 5 at this point, I'm sure I'm going to be dealing with this probably the rest of my life, which who knows how much longer that's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I get some questions. I don't know where they come from, but you know, it's like, can boys be girls? You know, these, and I don't know. So I just,
what's right anymore.
I just say everybody's can be everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course I go, you better watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course I tell my wife, what school is this girl going to?
Yeah.
What are they teaching her over there? But anyway,
ship her to Florida. Ship her to Florida.
Get her. I'm sending her to Banned Books High School. yeah. So I don't know what's. But anyway, she does ask. Like, then one day she goes to me. She goes, "Did Grandpa used to be a woman?" I was like, "My dad?" She goes, "Yeah, he used to be a woman. Like, do you start out as a woman and then become an old man?" Like, she thinks that's the.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dumb as shit. No. So I was like, no, I don't. Grandpa was never, but maybe, who knows? I don't know. I didn't meet him until he was 25, you know?
Could have had a.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal was.
Could have had a wild side.
Yeah. So anyway, I find myself so baby girl, but what do I know about anything?
Mm-hmm. That's big of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kid Rock. Was on Joe Rogan, speaking of toxic masculinity, and just. Like that is, I've lately been like watching clips of it, and I don't know where I should stand on Joe Rogan because I feel as a comedian I do like him a lot because he does a lot for stand up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he supports a lot of comedians. Anytime anyone starts talking stand up on his podcast, he gets very passionate about it. He went through the ranks that we've all gone through. It's not like he was an overnight success. He really. You know, he's busted it out in the clubs and all that. And he opened a club that supports a lot of guys. So for that reason, I applaud what he does. And I honestly don't applaud anything. I don't mean the podcast and all that. I mean, it's not my thing, but I can understand why people would be into it. But anyway, I'm seeing, but it's all very toxic masculinity. Like right down to like, you know, like smoking cigars and just, it's mm-hmm. very bro.
Yeah.
And I've always, for whatever reason, I don't really know why, I've always kind of like, bro's never been my thing. And I consider myself a bit of a bro just because I know a little bit about.
You're like a baby girl, bro.
Thank you. Thank you, Oz. That's nice. See, finally, something nice.
I get it.
But I mean, I know a lot about sports, if that's bro-ish. Mm-hmm. Probably know more about sports than Joe Rogan does. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know a ton about baseball. I know a lot about football. And then I keep up on everything else. I mean, I have a love of Broadway and this shit like that. But, you know, anyone who knows anything should. It's fucking the most talented people in the world, you dumb fucks.
You know, in Russia, that Broadway, that's like the most masculine art.
I know, exactly.
Russian bros love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Alexander Gudinov, the guy... From Die Hard,
mm-hmm.
he's a fucking classically trained ballet star. I mean, these people are all are.
Yeah.
And Australia too. You know, they've encouraged. That's why all the Australian actors, Hugh Jackman, Guy Pearce, Mel Gibson even, they all could sing, they could dance, they're trained to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but whatever. Eh, who knows? So but I've never been bro-y. So I don't really get the bro thing over at Joe Rogan. But anyway, Kid Rock was over there last week.
Mm.
And I guess he said, you know, Bud Light, the whole thing was like, more or less what he was saying was it was kind of a joke. Like I wasn't really, I think I give a fuck about Bud Light and Dylan Mulvaney or whatever. I mean, I didn't really listen to what he said. I read it. But what he said was I was shooting blanks. It wasn't a real gun. Like and then he was drinking Bud Light mm-hmm. on the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he nearly put the fucking brand out of business and,
don't you put that on Kid.
And people.
That was a Mulvaney thing.
And people, yeah, true. And people, I still do a joke about it in my act and mm-hmm. I have a bring up and people boo when I show my Bud Light on stage. I mean, there are some, depending upon the city we're playing, people are like, there is a legitimately angry reaction mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
And which is shocking to me. But I mean, you know, we live in, as I often say on this podcast, we just live in different times, man. We are going through some wild shit. But anyway, I think it's funny that everybody said, yeah, well, if Kid Rock's not into it, neither are we. And he's like, oh, I was kind of joking.
Yeah.
But,
just needed a clip for the gram.
And it, yeah, exactly. Like, well, something like that, right? Yeah. I mean, isn't that what it is? Did we miss an award show?
We did miss the
SAG Awards.
The SAG Awards, yeah.
Which was actually live on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
which being a guy who is in the Netflix world, Alex,
mm-hmm.
I could tell you that Netflix doing live programming right now, this is like the third or fourth live thing.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of work for them to do, but, you know, they did one of Chris Rock special. They've done some mm-hmm. Japanese stuff live, and it's been a big hit. So this is their first award show live.
Yeah.
And apparently,
and they have some sporting events coming up.
Not yet.
Like the tennis one, I think?
WWE. They just made a deal with wrestling, and that's going to... So now, once Netflix starts getting into live TV,
mm-hmm.
and they just made a deal with WWE, so that's huge. But they, if they get MLB or NFL or one of these, who knows if it'll happen, but that's it.
Yeah.
Network television, it's over.
Nail on the coffin.
Yeah, NBC, CBS, ABC, it's over. I mean, I know they're all kind of owned by... You know, Disney owns ABC, so they're all in the same world a little mm-hmm. bit. But what we know as ABC, CBS, and NBC will be done after, because right now the only thing that's holding them up is live golf and football and, you know, Olympics and blah, blah, blah. And award shows, honestly. I mean, they still do get big numbers. Mm-hmm. So if Netflix successfully did the SAG Awards the other night, and people seem to really enjoy it because what they're saying is, what I've read at least, I didn't see it. I'm busy. I'm very busy, people. And I normally like to watch these things. But what they're saying is the actors and everybody, there was no commercials. So everyone got to talk, you know, their speeches weren't cut off.
Ah.
So everyone's like, oh, I kind of like them doing long speeches. I guess Barbara Streisand gave a great speech and... Some other, I mean, if Barbara Streisand wins an award, you kind of want to see a longer speech out of Barbara Streisand, you know? Mm-hmm. So people were kind of into it from what the people that I read, you know, I'm sure there were some parts of the world, shut this bitch up. So I don't know. Is it Oppenheimer won the most, right?
Yeah. So outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture.
Because the SAG Awards they do it by cast because mm-hmm. actors are all acting, we're all together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do the actor and the male lead, female lead too. But for cast, it was Oppenheimer.
Good cast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's in the cast? Interestingly enough, who you haven't seen in a long time, Josh Hartnett.
Oh,
yeah. Remember him? Josh Hartnett? Didn't he do a movie about masturbating or not masturbating or something, 40 days and 40 nights or something, where he says, I'm not going to masturbate for 40 days.
Uh-huh.
I think he was in a movie like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me see.
Anyway, he was kind of like, he's kind of like reclusive, or he's kind of gotten out of Hollywood, mm-hmm. and you never see him publicly.
40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, he was there. Mm-hmm. Actually showed up to the award show. People were like, whoa. I mean, he was good in Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. Anyway, it's a great movie, actually. Excellent, excellent. My favorite movie of the year.
All right. Outstanding performance by a male actor, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer.
Yeah, he's winning everything. Yeah.
Female actor, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon.
She's winning everything, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oscar. Oscar's going to go to her for sure, 100%. Okay. And then... it looks like it's leading to Cillian Murphy, but I say on Oscar night, it's a Paul Giamatti upset.
Yep,
you heard me.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti upset on Oscar
All right. night. Supporting male performance, you got Oppenheimer with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he's going to win. Walk away with it. He's mm-hmm. fantastic in it, and it's Robert Downey Jr. Here's what we do in the case of Robert Downey Jr. This is our way of saying thanks for a good career.
Yeah.
You know, this is the role we're going to give it to you for, but this is for all the roles.
Yeah.
Okay? This is for you being the wise guy in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. You know, like, we're going way back, Robert. This is for you being the drug addict in Less Than Zero, giving Jamie Gertz a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, and fucking over Andrew McCarthy in the process
mm-hmm.
in Less Than Zero. This is for you.
Yeah. Lifetime achievement.
For the pickup artist or some. He made some terrible movies in the 80s. You know, strung out on all sorts of drugs and mm-hmm. shit. That's for those days.
Yeah.
This is not for Oppenheimer. This is for Iron Man
yeah.
and whatever the fuck else.
He beat out some stiff competition, though, in that. Robert De Niro, Willem Dafoe, yeah. Ryan Gosling, Sterling K. Brown. It's a tough...
Here's the problem. Those guys, I think they all... Doesn't De Niro's got a few?
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe, I think. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They'll have it again. Yeah,
Gosling's getting his love.
So. They also want to give it right. Robbie Downey Jr. is going to make a fun speech.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be wearing a cutesy outfit. You know, he's one of those dudes who thinks he's, you know, now he thinks he's, what's the guy who plays Iron, who's Iron Man?
Tony Stark.
Yeah, he thinks he's Tony Stark in like real life now. He dresses like him, talks like him. He's one of those dudes who became the character.
Yeah.
Like I always Elvis. Say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, he becomes the guy, like the Elvis guy. And I always say about the girl from Sex and the City. She played like a slutty woman on Sex and the City. And then she became like a, she wrote like sex books and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a character you're playing.
Yeah. Is that Kim Cattrall?
Kim Cattrall, yes, exactly. Thank you. And who do we got for actress? Oh, you said Lily Gladstone. Yeah.
For and they also do television, ensemble in television.
Oh, The Bear.
Well, Ensemble went to Succession for their final season.
Of course. They won everything.
They actually put The Bear as an outstanding performance by an ensemble in comedy.
Yeah.
They're calling The Bear comedy.
Mm-hmm, people do.
Uh-huh. A male actor in a television movie or limited series.
Okay.
Stephen Yeun from Beef.
Oh, yeah. That guy wins everything. I mean, Beef is killing it.
And Ali Wong won for Beef as well.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Allie's like a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was on Chelsea Lately a ton, and then I worked with her on that Chelsea Lately sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
We were, like, friendly. I mean, it's just wild how her career is just... But, you know, she's a good actress.
Yeah, she's really good in that. Did you see Beef?
I did not. I would watch Beef.
It's intense.
I think I'm going to watch it on the plane, maybe.
It's good, yeah.
I'll get that one on Netflix. It's on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us.
Everyone loves that guy.
Yeah.
Can't miss this Pedro Pascal. What's his situation? He got girlfriends or married?
I don't know.
I feel this guy could get anybody.
He's so baby girl.
I know. This guy's so baby girl.
He could get anything.
He should be out there. He should be with Taylor Swift at a $25,000 a night hotel room in Australia. Just so baby girl. But he doesn't strike me as this. I get the Jacob Elordi so baby girl. Like Pedro Pascal's a little more manly.
I mean,
I get Chalamet and Elordi. Elordi.
Elordi.
I get them because they, you know, every now and again I'll show up on a red carpet with pearls.
Yeah.
And a skirt. So, that's.
Yeah.
But I don't think Pascal does that, does he?
They do Saltburn type movies. Pedro Pascal just won for The Last of Us, which is like a zombie end of the world movie.
Right,
he was like
he's
pretty manly in that.
Is there some gay action in that? Isn't there?
The Last of Us?
I thought.
Oh, there is.
Yes, don't they? Isn't there the guy
is,
from. He was in that
from
one. Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yes.
He's great. I like that guy a lot.
There's one episode that's about his gay love. Yeah.
I think he won a SAG Award for it.
For
I
the
think
gay
he
scene?
He did, yes.
Oh.
Well, not the gay scene. He won for that character.
Offerman. Nicholas Offerman.
Yeah, Nicholas Offerman. Yeah. Exactly. Married to married to the girl from Will and Grace. They're married.
Oh.
Carrie Mulligan. That's not her name, but let's just say it is.
Something like that.
Okay, everybody. I feel like we've given a lot. It's a Tuesday night. If we'll be 100% honest with you guys, we're taping this on Monday night. So it's very late here in Los Angeles. We're taping our second podcast of the day. So we're talked out. We're all talked out.
Mm-hmm.
Another freak out on a plane.
Those just keep coming.
They just keep coming. I mean, it's just wild. I'm hearing a lot about this Wendy Williams. I guess a new documentary came out about Wendy Williams today or something on TLC. I forget what network it's on. But I guess it's a two-parter. And we've been talking a little bit, at least on Juicy Scoop, we talked about it before this thing came out. And it is interesting that she seemed to be on top of the world. Like, and I'm not kidding. Like, her daytime talk show was huge.
Yeah.
And it was syndicated. So, like, there was just so much money in it. Whether she made a bad deal or something, I don't really know. But it just seemed to suddenly end.
Mm-hmm.
It was very odd. And, I mean, just when it was at its height, she just somehow, I don't know, was it rehab or something? Nobody seemed to have any answers. There was rumors of health issues and or mental issues, and you saw some pictures of her, walking in and out of limos to places, and she just never looked right. But anyway, now I guess I should, I'm not all that interested in Wendy Williams, but I'm hearing some shit about this documentary then.
Yeah.
I guess she was a crazy drinker, according to this, and like drank herself into like a dementia, they're saying. So, I mean, I guess it's pretty grim to watch, but, and I don't, you know, she's one of those women, I don't know if she's 70 or 40.
Yeah.
I mean, what? How old is she? Is she of a dementia age, or is she just like really like early onset dementia?
Yeah, let me get that age for you.
Because she could be 70. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. She's 59.
Oh my God, she's young.
Young.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. I really thought she was 70. Wow. All right. So I guess that's over. Like, she's not coming back.
Yeah.
To show. I thought she was maybe taking a break and was going to come back. Because remember they were having like guest hosts on because in hopes that she would eventually come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's been replaced by like Sherry Shepherd or some other dumb shit. And, you know, those afternoon talk shows, they're just, who cares? Unless it's Drew Barrymore or Kelly Clarkson. The other ones are just, I mean, but I guess people are watching. They seem to keep renewing their contracts. I just see that, Sherry Shepherd's got one.
Yep.
Tamron Hall. Who the fuck? She was on the Today Show 20 years ago. She's got one.
Okay.
And then the one who won the Oscar for Dreamgirls, who was Jennifer Hudson, got it.
Okay.
She's got one. Everybody's having fun over there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch that afternoon TV. It makes you feel like such a loser.
Yeah.
Because all the commercials, you know, there's a lot of commercials if you have watched like regular TV, especially in the afternoon. And they know their audience. They know who's watching.
Yeah.
You know, sitting there at noon on a Tuesday watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
So every commercial's aimed at that person.
People that eat cereal for dinner.
Why are you there? You know, I'm a lawyer. I will get you money. Did you fall down in a grocery store? Were you hit in an Uber?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you money.
Yeah.
Do you have a disease? Did you do something at a workplace? Were you a Marine somewhere? There's the water was tainted.
Yeah, Camp Lejeune.
Yeah, I'll get you money.
Yeah,
do you have mesothelioma?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you. Did you put powder on your pussy in the '70s? I'll get you money.
Yeah, you got Ozempic face.
Is that what another one is? Yeah, going after your Ozempic.
The faces are getting.
Yeah, and just like collapsing.
Yeah, just getting real droopy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened. You lose weight.
It
comes out of your face.
Comes
too.
Out everywhere.
I mean, it comes out of your ass and your belly, but it also comes out of your face.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. People love that fucking Ozempic, huh?
It's a lifesaver.
I mean, I guess.
Miracle cure.
I guess. But like, when can you take Ozempic? Like if you're 10 pounds overweight, or do you got to be 100 pounds overweight?
I think you got to be pushing two, you know?
Because
I think...
I'm hearing some people like, they were like, you know, Kelly Osbourne, the wife, you know, the
Sharon.
Sharon Osbourne. I'm like, Sharon Osbourne was never like, she wasn't obese.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess some people are taking it who just need to lose 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you could lose 10 pounds by just, you know, skipping a couple of meals, right?
Yeah.
What the hell do I know? I don't fucking, it's all over for me. I don't care. But what do I need? What do I need? I got to be on Ozempic now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do we got?
I got something for you real quick.
Oh, what do we got?
1977. We started with who won an Oscar in 77, right? The Art of 1977. Would you like to hear who the Grammy winners were of 1977?
Can I guess?
Go ahead. You want to guess the winner? You just want to guess some nominees?
Well, give me the category and I'll try and guess who won. 1977. Go ahead.
So you could take Record of the Year or Album of the Year. They're different categories.
I know. Well, I'm going to say Album of the Year was the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Am I wrong? Is that not 77?
I'm just looking at
Give it to me.
Album of the Year was Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, great album. Okay.
Record of the Year, This Masquerade, George Benson.
Ooh, okay.
Song of the Year, I Write the Songs.
Barry Manilow. That make the young girls sing. He didn't write that song, however, strangely enough.
Yep. The other songs of the year, This Masquerade.
Okay.
George Benson.
Mm-hmm.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
No.
Song of the Year, runner-up.
Really?
Yep.
Church bell chimes, even rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Breaking Up is Hard to Do.
Oh, Neil Sedaka?
Yes.
No. Yeah, Neil Sedaka?
Mm-hmm.
Breaking up is hard to do. Used to come into Mirabelle every night.
Afternoon Delight.
Rubbing sticks and stones together makes a sparkling fire. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight.
Best new artist.
Starland Vocal Band. Sky rockets in flight. Okay.
Woo!
Afternoon delight. Wow. Let's hear a little about to get out of here. Hear a little Starland Vocal Band.
All right.
Get us out of here. I think we've done enough. Thank you, everybody. See you in Philadelphia. We are coming to Philadelphia Thursday night. That's the end of that. Philadelphia. We will be at the Punchline in Philadelphia Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Then what do? I get on an Amtrak train to Washington, D.C., where I'll be at the Improv in Washington, D.C. Sunday night, March 4th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. March 3rd, March 4th. But anyway, Sunday night. Then we're heading out to up there in
Levity Live. Up in Oxnard, California.
One night only, Thursday night, right here close to home. And so much more.
Florida.
Stamford Comedy Club. Tampa. What's the place in upstate New York?
Auburn Theater.
Those are the ones. And then, of course, Tampa.
Tampa.
Side Split is almost sold out already. Better get them. Another 6 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Nice.
Love it. And then over to Dania Beach.
Yep.
Improv. And down there in Florida as well.
One night only.
Very excited about that weekend.
One night only. Kansas City coming up.
Kansas City. You've never been before. The Comedy Club in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. One night only to the people of... I haven't been to Kansas City in forever. Very excited about that. Frangiola.fun has everything. And as we have Instagrams, Alex Khan, Khan TV.
Khan.TV.
Khan.TV. Chris Frangiola, Instagrams, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in touch with us all. Patreon. Just plugging away here, Alex.
Yeah.
And then, of course, come see us live. We're excited about Philadelphia. More cover-to-cover coming. If you like it, give us a review. Smash that like button. Give us a review. Go over to all the places you guys listen and give us a review. I love it. It's the greatest. What a fun show. Five stars. All right. Bye bye, everyone. We can make a lot of love before the sun goes down. Thinking of you's working up an appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon. Sticks and stones together make a spark ignite, and the thought of rubbing you is getting so excited. Sky rockets in flight.